real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Welcome to Barrel It Up podcast. This is the podcast that explores why individuals continue in a sport well into their senior years. We've got people playing sports now in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, when our previous generations, our forebears, our fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers, never either had the opportunity or the interest in doing that. But somehow I'm talking to a generation here that decided to continue no matter what. And we have a special treat today. And by the way, I'm Jay Jambrone, the host of it. And we have a special treat today that Jeff Lowry is our co-host. Jeff's from APN Video. Please check out his site at apnvideo.com. We'll have that in the description later, so you don't have to remember memorizing that. We'll probably also have his email in there because I want you all, after hearing him today, to encourage him to continue to be involved in this and be co-host with me whenever he can. That would be fantastic. We have the great pleasure today of talking to Ken Foreman. So I want to welcome Jeff and especially welcome Ken to the show.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Jeff, with your first question.
Ken, first of all, Jay, thanks for allowing us to be on your show. And Ken and I go back a long time. I couldn't even tell you the year that we met, probably in the late 90s.
Uh-huh.
And, Ken is a New York native. Where are you from specifically in New York?
Oh, I was born in Brooklyn. I lived in New York for 30 years. And I figured it was time to move out to Arizona when I was ducking bullets on the train one time and figured, well, things had to get the hell out. And back in 1987 is when I moved out here, and I haven't looked back since.
Well, Ken, you've been playing in this World Series out here, the Men's Senior Baseball League World Series. How long now?
Going on 26 years.
Okay, so that was about the time I think you and I met. Had to be in the late 90s.
Yeah, I was playing for the Long Island Tide at the time. And you were doing your broadcast from Diablo Stadium. And you've always done an awesome job. And so we struck up a rapport. Because you never knew what was going to come out of my mouth, so hell, neither did I. So it kind of worked really well, and I seemed to play pretty well when you were, filming our game. So that was also something memorable about it. And over the years, you've done some of my games, and you've always done. You've done it justice, so I most appreciate it. So keep it going.
Well, as Jay mentioned, years ago, decades ago, a lot of us didn't have a chance to play baseball, fast-pitch baseball again. And then Steve Sigler, the president of the MSBL World Series and the MSBL, started a small league kind of in your area. And I think they had like six teams. They put an ad in the paper. They got an overwhelming response. And then the rest, as they say, is history. And now, some almost 40 years later, you've got a tournament here in Phoenix every October that has somewhere around 300, sometimes even more than 300 teams playing in the major league spring training facilities. And really, I mean, it's not an expensive endeavor either. So you got a lot of players that now have an opportunity to play fast pitch again, where, you know, me coming out of high school, the only way I would have been able to play is get on with a college team.
You know, and fortunately, as I said, I moved out here about a year before it started. I didn't hear about this tournament until 97, when I got a call from my brother, who was playing for the Tide at the time. They said they needed some pitching. So I said, okay. When they come out there, I joined because, hell, I'm already a resident, so it's not as though too much of a cash outlay. And it was wonderful. The league becomes a fraternity. You see the same people year after year. There's about 300, 325 teams based on age and skill level. And so you renew old acquaintances as they come out here. The fields are wonderful. The weather is ideal. Especially we play in the summertime where we have to play at night because when you start the game, it's about 110.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And then when the game ends, it cools down to 102.
Yeah.
So I almost have to get a parka or something because it gets so cool. So that time of year is great. And because I work for myself, I make sure to become available for all games.
Hmm. Now, what position did you play in high school?
You know, in high school, my teams were so stacked, I didn't make the team.
Oh, wow.
I didn't make the team. My high school coach told me, if you want to play high school ball, leave the district.
Huh.
And so I told him, I know where your car is. If you find four flat tires, you know who it comes from. And that didn't work out too well either, so I didn't play for quite a while. So, yeah, my high school team was, I mean, I played in a school in Brooklyn called Lafayette High School. And Lafayette was known for Sandy Koufax. It was known for Johnny Franco. And the Aspromonte brothers played there. So
we
had a rich history of players. I just wasn't good enough to play for the school. So
when did you pick up a glove after high school? What was the first time?
Everything was softball. Sadly, everything was softball, so still played because didn't think there was anything else.
Right.
Then when I moved out here, I heard about the MSBL, the tryouts. This was back in 1990. Playing in the league back then, the AZ-MSBL, which started back in 88. But the problem with that league was after 1 year, the people who took over the league had all their games played way out in Sun City, a small retired area. And they had a stadium that looked like a bandbox, and that all their games was played in that stadium because they bought the field. So that's how they made their money. Transportation then wasn't like it is now.
Right.
So for a Sunday game, I'd have to leave Friday. It wasn't. So for six years, didn't hear from anything until one day. They had tryouts again, the MSBL. I tried out. This was early 97, and I've been a fixture since.
Wow. Yeah, I wish they, that made me feel bad. I don't know how that made me feel, because I'm in Sun City West, and now I have to start on Friday or to come over and play in the league now.
Yep. And I'm right next to Tempe Diablo or Peoria Sports Complex. So yeah, it's a long drive to Tempe, especially for a 9 a.m. start time.
That's right.
But our league now, they don't have Sunday games anymore.
Right.
They play their games at night, and we always have a battle with the kids, you know, with the high school players for fields. And sadly, they have priority over us. But fortunately, there are enough fields where we still get to play on premium fields. Mostly we play at Diablo Complex, and we play up at Salt River. I think we've got like 30 some odd teams. And so the schedules have to, they have to perform some magic to make sure to get enough games on fields. And they play every night of the week, you know, Monday through Friday.
Ken, talk about, let's go back to your younger days, if you can recollect. I know that's been a while, but talk about how your love of the game developed. Who was, obviously, we all have our favorite major league teams growing up and the favorite players. How did your love of the game kind of develop in those early years?
Well, I was 6 years old. Back in 1963, Yankees were playing the Dodgers in a World Series. And my dad hated the Yankees. He was a fan of the Brooklyn Dodgers and anybody who played the Yankees. So the Dodgers left Brooklyn. They moved to L.A. So he was watching the World Series, and I was watching with him. Now, I wasn't a Dodger fan. Koufax was dominant in that series. I remember I was a little boy, and he was just giddy because the Yankees were getting their head handed to them. They were swept in four games. But for some reason, I became a Yankee fan.
Oh.
And the two favorite players, Mantle was my favorite player, and Koufax, because as the years went on, and especially when I, you know, after high school, we had a certain commonality. He was Jewish. I'm Jewish. He's lefty. I'm lefty. Mm-hmm. He went to Lafayette. I went to Lafayette. He couldn't hit. I could. But he could pitch, and I'm still working on it. So, yeah, so he became, you know, one of my favorite players because of what he did and who he was. And he was an integrity guy, a lot of character.
Yeah.
Because there are not many people who would not pitch a World Series game because of his religious followings. And that spoke a lot to me. So, yeah.
You know, Ken, you mentioned you had some similarities with the Hall of Famer Koufax. One similarity that does not exist between you two is that here you are. I don't know how old you are, but I know you're at least 60. And you're still playing baseball. And he quit at kind of a young age, at age 30. At the top of his game.
Yeah, well, you see, if I had an arm problem, you couldn't tell when I threw if I lost any speed because there was not a lot of speed to lose anyway. He had an arthritic elbow, I think, and he made it a life choice that he wanted to be able to have kids and pick up his kids. And he did not want to lose that. So I could respect that.
Yeah.
You know, there were certain stars in all sports that left in the prime of their career for whatever reason. But his was, he didn't want to push himself to the point where he was a cripple.
Right.
I play because I never reached the highest level. And I love the game. And as long as the game doesn't embarrass me, I still play.
You know, let's talk about something that, again, Jay brought up with the MSBL World Series, or if you play any other, the NABAs or any, and I know you played NABA too, but do you agree with the fact that in the early days, if we go back into the 90s, I can remember filming, calling these games for the both NABA and MSBL, and it felt like a different game. I felt like a lot of guys were playing for the first time, and maybe the first time in baseball history, older players started getting better with time. So they may have come back, they look bad, maybe in their late 30s or early 40s, but then something happened, maybe 5, 7, 10 years later, I'm noticing you guys look better than you did 10 years ago. Not looks wise, but your level of play.
Yeah. Now, there's an old saying that the older you get, the better you used to be. And the cream, I guess back then, players just started hearing of the tournament. So as people migrated, there were some quality people playing, and perhaps the competition they were playing was not the greatest only because of the exposure of the tournament. See, what I remember about NABBA and also MSBL then and now, see, back then, MSBL was geared toward the players.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to Diablo Stadium where they had all the booths.
Oh, yeah.
And there were so many booths that they had to have it in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Because there were so many. Then suddenly it dwindled down so that they still had a lot of booths in the stadium. Well, sadly, you know, financial, they made a deal with Marucci and Victus, whereby they are the only vendors that are allowed in for the MSBL. And what I found very disturbing was the quality of their product. Very few booths, and the quality of their product was not good.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so it used to be we waited for the weekend before the final week of the season where you can get a whole bunch of stuff, not only for the tournament, but for the next year.
Yeah.
But that's not available anymore. And I think what Sigler did was he did a disservice to a lot of the small companies that use this as a platform to sell a lot of their products and also to bring awareness to all the other players that they are around.
Yeah.
I think, and I hope Sigler's listening. You are, Steve, right?
Well, hopefully he is.
I think you made a big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is now that Victus and Marucci have this contract, they're not bringing their A game.
Yeah.
They're not bringing their best product. And that's a problem.
Hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of competing tournaments, whether NABBA or Roy Hobbs that they play down in Florida. The worst thing you want to do is lose a lot of people to go to these other tournaments because of the fact that you used to be for the players. I remember we used to go, we used to have a practice. The day before I started for 1-2 hours at any of the fields.
Right.
And at the end, we would meet to get our jerseys, and they would have like a little swag bag, all these little stuff by the sponsors. Now, if you get a jersey, you got to hope that it's not made out of burlap. So I think that because this has become a big money maker, and it should be, and I don't begrudge them at all for money, but you still got it. Think of the players, because at the end of the day, the players are what makes the tournament.
Yeah.
You lose those players, then you're going to wonder why.
Yeah.
So that's my it's a gripe, but that's my biggest difference between then and now. It was almost an honor to play back then. Now we play, we love the game, we love the fields, but it almost seems as though just the players are just an afterthought.
Yeah, that's a shame, yeah.
What about the many years you've been coming to this thing? And I know that sometimes you're like doing what they call a pool player. You're on teams. Maybe you might be on a team from Canada one year, and you might be on a team from somewhere else the next. But I would think with all the years, talk about the camaraderie with the people, even if you're not playing on the same team, but maybe against, or you see them at Diablo Stadium from time to time.
But that's why this is like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
You don't see them, and then all of a sudden you see them again, and you remember their face, and all of a sudden the light bulb comes on, and you renew old acquaintances.
Yes.
And, I mean, this has been going on for a long time. So, and sometimes you just get, you know, waiting for the next game. So you're standing at the field waiting to get on, and you see another guy, and you just start talking to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you learn a few things, and you learn a few things about you. And I think it's, that's one reason why we still come.
Yes.
We still come because the weather's great. You're playing baseball.
You're at the ballpark. You're at the ballpark.
You know, this is something we love to do. Mm-hmm. We don't get paid. In fact, we have to pay. So if you have to pay to play, then it's got to be something there for you. And it's just, reliving what if.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you, one of the things that we kind of envision ourselves, if we were able to play, you know, professionally, but we just enjoy the game. Mm-hmm. And as long as it's competitive, we don't like to play in games, whether we're winning by 20, losing by 20, it's no fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when the games are competitive, and that is when it's worth going to.
Jay, do you have a question for Ken?
Well, we've run into a time thing here, and so we need to talk to Ken quite a bit more because I've got some more questions for him, and I know Jeff does. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do right now is close out the show today and then get Ken back and do it some more. Right now I've got some house cleaning I have to do, and that is I want to thank for somebody out there that's been listening or watching Barrel It Up. We really appreciate it. We really need subscribers to the channel. That helps us grow. There's also a rating system from 1 to 5, 5 being the best. Whatever you can do there would be great. You can leave comments at barrelitup@yahoo.com. Don't worry about that. That'll be in the description. Would love to hear from you. If you have somebody like Ken that you think we should be talking to on the channel, please let me know there. Give me their contact information, the who and the why. If you'd like to see a complete list of all our guests that we've had on the show, please go to jjambrone.com, page 5. That'll also be in the description, so you don't have to remember how to spell that. Now we have video clips of some of our shows, and Ken and Jeff will be on one in the future, that are on Instagram and Facebook, Barrel It Up. On Facebook, it's Barrel_Up_It_Up is the easiest way to get to that. And you can always get to any of our shows by just going on Google and typing in Barrel It Up, and you'll come right to our show, and you can scan through all the shows there. I'd also like to thank the people that make the show possible. TJ, especially at Pod Populi. That's the company that does all my editing and distribution. He's been a big help there since he's been to the company. And I want to thank my executive producer, Susan, and my associate producer, Robin, and thank Jeff and Ken so much for being on the show so far today. And very soon we will do another show with everybody together. And thank you both for being on this one.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.